Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Echo Chamber. I'm your host, Jay Echo, and I am joined again by our illustrious guest, Miss Nat Nicole. Nat, how well, it's in the corner. Nat, how you doing? How you feeling? How you living? How you been since last time?
I'm doing fine. It's a very gloomy, or it's been a gloomy day, but I'm happy to be home.
Yeah, I mean, the sun came out at like 6 o'clock for no reason. So yeah, it was a weird day. But all righty. So for those of y'all who have been paying attention, this is episode two of season three, or well, I say episode two, but this is really part two of the first conversation we had. And that conversation went a couple of interesting places. It was mostly about dating and intention and a bunch of other stuff. So I sort of wanted to jump off from there. We ended off our last conversation sort of discussing dating with kids, if I remember correctly. And the consensus we came to was sort of one, people need to be more intentional when they are going into a dating situation with children, and two, they should involve the children as quickly and early as is reasonable. So I wanted to what's it called? I wanted to sort of piggyback off of that discussion and ask you, from your perspective, what do you think is the negative that comes with dating somebody with children, as somebody who has children yourself?
I think the negative for me is, for one, being intentional about the type of person that you want around your child. I have two daughters, and the one thing that I have to think about is, how is this person, like, can I trust this person with my children? Am I able to leave this person alone and know that no harm will come to my children? Like, you hear stories about, people that date, and this person's either like they're abusing the child in some way, shape, or form, whether it's emotional, physical, sexual, whatever. So I think with that in mind, I'm not quick to let people meet my kids. Like, I would say the longest I've gone was maybe 6 months before the person met my daughter. And this was before I had my second child. Some people do like minimum 3 months, something along those lines. 'Cause you want to, and not that everybody reveals how they really are early on, but I think just making sure that you remember to protect your kids. And I think that goes for not just people you date, but just around anybody. Like, I want to make sure that whether it's a babysitter or a family member or someone I'm dating, that they're around people that won't, bring any harm to them. I would say that would be, that's one like negative. And then another one would be, like, if I'm dating someone that doesn't have kids, they some people feel that, oh, because I don't have children, I can't relate, or they don't think, I guess the mindset or the mentality might not be aligned, or might not be on the same accord with the person that has the children. So I don't know. I think I've dated guys where they've wanted to go out and do certain things, and I have to tell them, like, hey, I can't just drop everything and go on a trip, or whatever the case may be. Like, I have to, everything has to be planned. And sometimes men are understanding and they'll give me the grace. And then some are like, well, I'd rather just date somebody that don't have kids because I don't have to worry about that, you know, aspect of things. So that would be the main things that I can think of.
Okay. So you, what's it called? How, on the other side of that, like how, like you said, you have two daughters. How do you contend with the fact that your daughters are literally watching you date at the same time? And so like you're, whether you want to or not, you're sort of teaching them in that same way. How do you manage or, you know, contend with all of that?
So I don't think it's healthy for your children to just see all these different people come and go. Mm-hmm. Because kids attach easily. Like if they meet you, or at least for my kids, like if they've met someone like them, they get attached. And then if it doesn't work out, then it's like you're breaking up with the child. Like they, you're grieving a breakup and then the child is grieving a breakup. Mm-hmm. It just goes back to me really taking the time before I introduce this person, because once you introduce a person into a child's life, that becomes part of a routine. Like the dynamic in the house might change. They get used to being around the person. So with my kids, at least with my oldest, because she's a teenager, like I can sit her down and explain to her, because you know of what I got going on. Like she's seen me date like two guys since I divorced her dad, so she gets it. I've talked to her and explained to her, like, hey, I just, you know, her dad's been with the same person since she was two. Whereas for me, I'm still figuring it out. But what I don't do is have a scenario where she's waking up or coming home and it's like a different guy, like every, you know, because that's something I grew up with, where I was just seeing just different men in and out my mom's life or in and out, like aunties, like that. And, when you have that dynamic, then that tends to affect a child, like in, you know, in their own dating life. So I try to be open with her about, like, because she's asked, like, well, why, you know, why you're not married, like why you're not, you know, doing whatever, because she sees that her dad has a whole different dynamic. And it's just, I'm still looking. I haven't found my king. So it's just, it is what it is.
Yep. Yeah, it's a complicated. So I'm finding out the hard way that that it's hard out here in these streets. Yeah, as somebody who's also out here dating and trying to figure stuff out. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's interesting, but it's also depressing, because, you know, like we mentioned last time, like there are a lot of lonely people out there, right? But I don't think anybody's interested in giving the other people who are just as lonely, who are out here struggling just as much, any grace in the situation, where it's like, oh, hey, you're just looking for somebody to connect with too. But then on the other side of that, it's like, cool, yes, you're just looking for somebody to connect with, but are we meant to connect with each other beyond, like, you know, beyond, you know, whatever it is, whether you decide to, you know, hey, this is just sex, or hey, let's try and figure out if this is a relationship, or whatever the case may be. You know, I think it's complicated. It's complicated and it's tiring, is what I was.
Yeah. And you know, I'm learning to recognize that not everybody is meant to be in your life long term. Like,
yeah,
you have some situations that's seasonal, and then you have some where it's that person's going to be with you for the long haul. And typically the seasonal situations is more, at least in my life, it's more of a test, whether something resurfacing that I thought that I had dealt with that I haven't gotten completely over, or it's a new test. I mean, it's all part of growth, and it's all part of figuring out what you want, you know, because like I said, we're out here, we want something that's unconventional from what we were raised on. And it's trial and error. It's like learning how to ride a bike. Dating is literally riding a bike without the training wheels. And, you know, you just...
Well, I never learned to ride a bike, so it's real rough for us out here.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have the moments where you think you got it, and then, like, some days it's like, no, I don't have it at all. So, yeah.
All right, so on that other side of things, you said dating is like riding a bike. So we've had discussions about stuff like this before, and we once had a discussion about how relationships start, how we actually enter into relationships, So actually speak on that a little bit, because you had an interesting take, if I remember correctly.
How relationships start?
Yes, how we start relationships.
I mean, for most people, or at least what I've heard over time, is a lot of times people might meet at work. It might be like,
do that.
like you out, you know, you out at the lounge, you out at the casino. Like, it's one of those like organic scenarios where you meet people. Mm-hmm. But typically the first thing that catches you about a person is the physical. Mm-hmm. And some people don't want anything beyond the physical. I think that's the biggest hang up right now in the dating world. Even with online dating, most guys I've matched with, they don't mind saying like, hey, I just want something casual, which typically means they just want sex. Because if a person really wanted more, there would be more conversation. You'd be trying to get to know me. We talking about, you know, values, morals, goals, you know,
whether about all that.
Yeah, you know, whether or not you want to have kids one day, or you just life in general, what life would look like if you, you know, had a long time, you know, partner or whatever. So I think that's the biggest hang up, is that some people don't want to get past the physical. Some people might be afraid to, like if a person's been hurt and been, you know, in and out of relationships, and that's, again, speaking for myself, like I tried to do the casual situation, and I guess it's okay because it leaves you open to like freely date. Mm-hmm. But at some point, even though it starts physical, at some point somebody catches feelings. And then when someone catches feelings, then what do? Because the relationship doesn't really have substance outside of just, okay, y'all have sex, but you can have sex with anybody. Like when it comes to a connection, that takes work. Mm-hmm. Like it takes work to build a relationship and then like grow to like somebody and then ultimately love that person. So yeah, it's not that I'm opposed to casual dating. It's just that I guess being in my mid-30s, it's like, well, how long can one sustain casual dating? At some point, it has to get old. And like, then what do?
Become a cat daddy. That's exactly what.
I guess. Like, that's something about all the time. I'm like, dang, like, I'll be 34 this year. Like, as you know, next year I'll be 35 and then closer to 40. It's like, at some point, this gets old. Like, what do you do when you get tired of casual dating?
I mean, I got there a couple years ago when I considered taking up the cloth. You know, I considered becoming a hermit. I got really good at, I got really fit for a quick second. You know, it's just, you know, but from the other side of that, you know, the casual relationship part of it, then spinning off of it slightly, what are your thoughts then on something like polyamory or not polygamy, but yeah, polyamory.
Polyamorous?
Yeah.
I had somebody like talk to me about that, and he gave me a whole, you would have thought he was like a car salesman, the way he was trying to pitch this lifestyle to me. And I guess so what he told me was that, sorry, my phone is like 20%. But what he told me, he was like, well, it's a village. And, you know, because I was like, well, I have kids. Like, how would that work? Like, maybe if I was single, no kids, it would be easy to enter into that type of lifestyle. But he was like, no, because, you know, you could bring kids into it. And then ultimately, like the women, because in a man's perfect world, polyamorous is a man with multiple wives. Mm-hmm. So like the women would have this sisterhood, and then like you cater to the man. It's all about building, you know, like generational wealth. Like, I guess it's, you have, the more people you have, you could pull in those resources for that. Like, I get that part. Mm-hmm. But what I actually see is just men who want to just openly have all these different partners to sleep with. Like, I haven't seen a successful like situation such as that one. Like, most dudes look at it from more of a physical than how, I guess you could say, in some countries in Africa, like some tribes, how they practice it. So I don't know, it's not my cup of tea. I don't know if I could see myself doing something like that. Because in my mind, I guess I kind of think on the physical aspect of like, okay, well, you have all these options. You could literally go from one room, you know, each woman got a different day of the week. So what happens if we decide that we want to have something different? Then, so I guess that's just how my mind works.
Okay. So then let me ask you this then. All right. If it was the other side, you know, if you could create your ideal polyamorous situation, what would it look like? I see your wheels turning. She's like, Denzel, Idris, you know.
I would probably have a mix of like men and women, maybe. I think it would have to be fair across the board. Okay. I guess.
All right. So, but you know, all jokes aside, I would say I agree in that, like, I've never, most of the time I hear about polyamory, it's about one person involved in the situation is all for it, and the other person is kind of along for the ride. And then usually what ends up happening is like they're polyamorous for a while, and then they find that one person that they're like, oh, okay, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then all of the other ones just end up cut off and doing their own thing someplace else. So, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think when most people say polyamory, what they're actually saying is I am dating and I am contemplating multiple options, and you are mm-hmm. one of those options.
Yeah, it sounds more like decided. That's what it sounds like to me. It's more of an open scenario. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that I've seen is you'll have a married couple that have what you call a permanent hall pass. Mm-hmm. So they are free. Like if they decide they meet somebody else and want to explore something, whether it's sexually or say, not that their partner is lacking something, but maybe your wife doesn't like to go hiking and you meet someone who does like to go hiking. So that's who you spend that time with. Like I've heard different variations of a hall pass without it necessarily leading to sex.
Yeah.
But I also think you have to be careful with that, because even if you're not sleeping with somebody, I think once you emotionally connect to somebody else, like, then I think it gets a little weird. Mm. So I've heard of that. I've heard of you'll have a couple and say the wife is bisexual. Mm. So there's an agreement that, okay, I'm married to you, but if I decide I meet this lady over here and I want to explore that, then, you know, I'm free to do so. So I've seen, I will say, being out here in the DMV, like it's a lot of stuff going on. It's not just, like I've seen some interesting.
Yeah, we've had this discussion before. So it's a fun scenario. So then let me ask you this, two questions. One, do you think men and women can be friends without the potential for it to escalate? One. And two, what are your thoughts on the concept of like work wives and work husbands?
I was told, I had a coworker that used to always say that conversation brings about similarities. Mm-hmm. And not that a man and a woman can't be friends and have a strictly platonic scenario. Mm-hmm. I think in order for that to work, there has to be boundaries. Mm-hmm. So, I guess you can say I've had quite a few work husbands throughout my... throughout the time that I've been, you know, employed. Mm-hmm. I've had quite a few scenarios where I've had the work husband that was buying me lunch, or, you know, that was doing that. We were just cool like that. But yeah, you have to be careful, especially if people have their own, if they're married or they have their own relationships outside of work. As far as work wives, work husbands, same thing. Because typically that's a platonic situation. Like I've been part of that, and I also see it where I work right now. People that have been working where I work for years, that's been around each other, they're comfortable with each other. But from my understanding, outside of work, these people do not communicate. At work, like, cool. Outside of work, they have the boundaries.
Yeah.
So I think as long as people respect boundaries, don't cross lines, because typically that leads to messy situations. I don't really see the issue. Mm-hmm. I do think for someone that has a significant other, I think it's more of like checking your insecurities. And something that I've learned is that I think as a human, we all feel like a tinge of jealousy when you see your person interacting with somebody else, especially if the person that's interacting with them is interested in that person. Mm. So I can see how we as humans can become territorial, but the reality is you can't control what the other person is going to do. So every day we go out, if you're in a relationship, you go out into the world, you might be tempted, because you got people out here that don't care if you marry, if you have a life partner, girlfriend, boyfriend. Some of these people do not care.
Nope.
But on you as the individual to say, no, like, this is not what I'm trying to, not here for this. I have my person. Godspeed, you know. So I think it really boils down to discipline at that point. If you're really trying to build a life with somebody, and if you're exclusive with somebody, then each time you're tested, you should be able to say, okay, I'm gonna step away from this. So
then that brings up another question for me, because it's like, yeah, you say it's about insecurity, but how much of that is just like, isn't insecurity, but it's like, I mean, let's be honest about it. You know, there are a lot of people out here in these streets who, like you said, who don't care. So how much of it is an insecurity, and how much of it is like, I am protecting my relationship? That's right. Not necessarily being territorial. That's just knowing what the game is out here in these streets.
Right. So, so I think what I, if I were in that situation, and say me and my guy, we're out at a lounge, or we're out somewhere, and this woman approaches him, and he's like, well, granted, if we're standing side by side, the other person should know to fall back. But let's just say maybe she didn't see me. Or maybe she don't care.
She feeling froggy. I got you.
Right. So she's trying to talk to my guy. My guy is telling her, like, hey, my girl right here, whatever, whatever. And at that point, he's done what he's supposed to do. If she doesn't about face and go the other way. Then at that point, I'm gonna say something. You know what I'm saying? So because you're being disrespectful. Like, if you were told, like, hey, I'm with my girl, I'm with my wife, I'm with my person, like, thank you for the compliment. However, you know, we're not doing that, and they don't step off, then yeah, I mean, whatever is needing to come her way may come her way.
You are the most professional person I have heard say she go catch these hands without saying she go catch these hands.
Just saying, you know what, I haven't witnessed it too much with women doing this, but I will say I've been out with a guy, and another guy will like aggressively try to talk to me, and I'm like, okay, you don't see me, you know, with him. But I guess it just, people these days are a different breed. Like, the level of disrespect that's going on it's out of this world.
Pivoting for from our previous conversation, you know, we've talked about discernment and respect and everything like that. And one of the things that we've discussed before is that respect is something that we often demand from other people, but it's also something that, like, a lot of people seem to not know how to give, or I guess the better way to word it is, it seems like a lot of people will ask for respect but aren't willing to do the things necessary to earn it. Mm-hmm. And where do you think, to me, that's something that comes from like upbringing, core values, that type of stuff. But for those people who, you know, it seems like they didn't get that. Like, I don't want to say that they didn't. For those people who it seems like they are lacking in that area, that level of just what you give is what you get, sort of that sort of understanding. What are some of the things, like, because you are I don't think I'm saying anything I shouldn't in saying that you are part of the military. And so, respect, honor, all of those values, those are big things for you guys. But for the civilian, for the and I told you earlier today, I've seen it in you, and I have a lot of respect for you because of the type of person you are and the type of, the actions I've seen you take. But for those people who just can't get right, for lack of a better term, what are some, because there are people who, the whole point of these conversations, the whole point of the reason why I wanted to do podcasting and everything like that, was to get people to a place where they could strive for that level of respect, that level of, that those internal values that breed that type of person. So what are some things that you believe people can do to foster that in themselves, to build that internal thing that's like, all right, this is the type of character that I want to have, as opposed to just demanding it without doing the actual work?
I think that person, for one, has to want it. I think people like that, something I it could have been childhood trauma. It could have just been growing up in unhealthy or seeing unhealthy relationships, seeing unhealthy ways to communicate, not seeing how to respect people, or just, for lack of better words, just some people just didn't come up with morals. Like, they just were not taught how to survive and thrive, in the world. And I think it just starts with wanting better for yourself. And what does that mean? For me, it means putting yourself in the room with like-minded people. So if you're wanting to elevate as an individual, like in terms of just respecting others, I think who you, the company you keep, has a lot to do with that. For me, my upbringing, like, I didn't always see the healthiest ways to communicate. You have some people, I won't say most, because that's loose, but for people that cheat, for people that do certain things, typically it's because they grew up seeing that kind of behavior. If you are wanting to not be like that, then you have to put yourself around people who don't behave in that manner. So respect, is down to, respect you have for yourself. So that's in how you carry yourself, how you dress, how you speak. If you want people to take you seriously, like, you kind of have to, not that you can't be who you are, it's just that you have to grow. Like, we're like plants. Like, you have to grow and learn, and take in life experiences, seek the knowledge, whether it's a podcast or a self-help book or getting a mentor. There's different, avenues one can take if you're trying to change a certain narrative about yourself. But it does start with wanting it for yourself first, because anybody can want better for you, but if you don't want better for yourself, then you tend to not make the best decisions. Like they say, hurt people hurt people. So that also means admitting that, okay, I've said things I shouldn't have, said or done. So I think it starts more like internal. Like, you got to do internal work, if you're trying to change who you are as a person.
I would agree, but so let's go for the mentorship, from the mentorship perspective. Like, so a lot of people will say, hey, find a mentor, get in the room with like-minded people. But then there are a lot of people out here who are very quick to write other people off. So how do you balance that?
That's a good question, Because I will say that I'm guilty of doing that. I feel like the older I get, the less patient I'm becoming with people. Because you can say that, oh, I'm a product of my circumstances, but at some point you have to take accountability and say, okay, I can continue to be a product of something, or I can take whatever steps that's needed to be better than you know, whatever. So that's a tough one. I think it just depends. I think I know that there are some people that may have done things and they want to change. And because it, say it's a family member or co-workers or whatever, like if you have a reputation for being a certain way and then you try to turn over a new leaf, some people might not believe it. Some people may not want to stick their neck out for you. I think it's just one of those things where if trust was broken, or if trust was never established, then that person is going to have to work for it. It's just, it's tough, but that's the reality of the situation. Like, I do believe that there's always someone out there that's willing to say, hey, I see you, like, let me help you. So I don't think that all is lost, but I will say, I guess it just depends on the scenario, where for some people, yeah, it's easy for somebody to just say, hey, I found a mentor, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. The only other thing I can think of that would probably help is to maybe rebrand yourself. So if you're known as someone who's, you know, always angry or always this and that, like I think it's just baby steps in changing certain behaviors so that people will see it and they'll say, okay, you know what? I see that they're starting to deviate, or they're doing something different. So then people start paying attention. And then usually what will happen is a person might get the buy-in and find the mentor. Someone might seek them out and say, hey, I noticed, or I've seen your growth. You know, it just depends. I think it depends on the person. But I mean, we're not perfect. So I think everybody has the opportunity to rebrand and just start over and start fresh. And at least for me, I've had people come into my life that have helped me along the way, you know. So, and it just be random. A lot of times it just starts with a random conversation and then it just kind of goes from there.
Mm-hmm. So we just talked about mentorship. So I want to take it to the opposite side of the spectrum. Because one thing I'm starting to see as I get older is, yes, there is, you know, you can take steps to rebrand yourself, to make yourself better and all of that sort of thing. But the other thing that I'm seeing is that oftentimes whether we intend to or not, we create our own monsters, so to speak. Right? Mm-hmm. So even when we're trying to do the right thing, we can end up hurting people. We can end up, you know, for instance, like, oh, you're trying to do better for yourself and you're trying to, you're taking steps to grow, to improve and all of that sort of stuff. And, what's it called? Have you seen Creed 3?
No.
It's a hard transition, I know. I'll go with the show that you have seen, Snowfall, because you've talked to me about this show before.
Mm-hmm.
So Saint, God bless his soul, he is a brother who he's just trying to drag himself up by his bootstraps, but in the process he literally burns down the entire village,
right?
Like everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to what do you say to those people, you know, like, 'cause from his perspective, you know, and even though I say his perspective, I will say our perspective as well, because let's be real about it. As audience members, we were right there with him, just like, all right, brother, do your thing. Go ahead, drag yourself up. So, from that perspective, like, how would you say you have found ways to take a step back and look around and be like, oh, I'm actually doing more harm than good, or I am hurting people? Because I think that's ultimately where people mess up. It's like, yes, you can try and improve yourself. Yes, you can try and grow. Yes, you can try and improve. But then when you not to say that you're wrong or anything like that, but when you do start cutting people off, when you do start, you know, cutting the fat, cutting the dead weight, and start trying to elevate, those same people can sometimes come right back in and cut you off at the knees. So how do you, or those same scenarios, so how do you balance that? Or how would you say you have balanced that for yourself?
I think it's just understanding that it's lonely at the top. That's something that I was told, like when I started to make rank in the military, I was told it's lonely at the top because as you elevate or as you make it through the ranks, like I'm enlisted, so the highest I can go is chief, which is the E9. And the higher you go, the smaller the pool gets. Like everybody's not meant to be a chief. Saying like you have some people that you have some people that are meant to be leaders, you have some people that can be leaders, you have some people that are followers, and typically for someone who like say like him, Saint, what you're talking about is like he was trying to elevate. He was growing. He had his village with him. But then, among the ranks, you had the jealousy. You had people wanting to steal his spot. And at some point, you do have to cut the fat. At some point, you do have to walk away and say, okay, you know what? This is the end of our journey. I'm going to continue to go my way, and you're going to go your way. For me, it's hard because I do think about people that I've grown up with. I was like real tight with. Once we got out of high school, like we kept in touch for a little bit, but I've noticed, or at least for me, the life that I want wasn't necessarily what they wanted. Like I have some friends, they're literally partying every single day, still mid-30s, getting sloppy drunk every day. Like they're still stuck on that high school mentality, living in the moment. And not that there's anything wrong with being in the moment, but you also have to be realistic and understand that you can't continue to do the same things and expecting a different outcome. So it's hard as you start to grow as an individual, especially when you started out on a shaky foundation. And the hardest thing about growth is having to sit and reflect and think about things that you've done, especially if you hurt people. And that's hard. Like that's something that I deal with all the time, and I kind of go through the motions with it because when you realize that that you could have forever changed the trajectory of someone's life based on an action or words, it's almost debilitating. Like it's crippling when you start to think like, man, if I wouldn't have said that, like this wouldn't have happened. Like, so it's hard. It's not, I mean, the only thing or what I tell myself is that ultimately I'm human. People make mistakes. I think it's better to understand where you went wrong and do the reflection and strive to be a better person each and every day. I think that's what really helps me like navigate life. Because if you sit in the past and it festers, it will get to you mentally, and it does make it hard for you to continue to move forward. But for me, I always say, you know, the past has happened. I made choices that I should not have made. And all I can do is try to make better choices, try to be a better influence when it comes to my kids or family or whatever the case may be. Because there's always somebody watching. There's always, whether it's, you know, a child or a coworker or someone, like we all are connected in some way, shape, or form. So anything that you say and do, it always influences someone in one shape or another. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just, growth is hard.
Yeah.
That's the main thing that people have to understand, is that growth is hard. It's hard. It's hard to do something that's outside of your comfort zone, because you might have a certain goal for yourself and you might look at other people and say, dang, like, look at how their life is going. They managed to get to whatever at this age or whatever. It's, and it goes, and I think I may have said this the last time we spoke, like, you can't look at what other people are doing. You have to focus on yourself, on your journey. So yeah, it's hard. It's doable. It's, you know, as we go through this thing called life, we're all students. So you're never going to be fully healed. There's always room to grow. There's always room to learn. There's always, every day that you wake up, is that's another day for you to do life different in a positive way. So I think that's just something that I try to live by.
I appreciate you for saying that. Like, I did not, it's funny because what you were saying about like that moment where you think like you, that moment where you recognize the actual power you have to affect somebody's life, and the fact that you may have done it in the past, is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that moment a couple times, and it's just like, you know, you sit and you, like you said, you sit and you reflect and you think like, yo, half the stuff I did just being a stupid kid, mm-hmm, is stuff that potentially ruined somebody's life, or stuff that could have ruined my life if, but for the grace of God or whatever, or luck or whatever you want to chalk it up to. And I don't often quote, what's it called? Well, I'm not even going to quote him. I'm just going to reference him. I don't often reference Jordan Peterson, but there was something he said once that that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And he said somebody asked him a question once, and the question was essentially, how do you reconcile when you realize, like you said, you do have this elevated position and you do have this knowledge or this information, and, you know, and it seems like everybody else in the world doesn't know the thing, and you wish with every part of your being that you could sort of like forget or just go back to like, oh no, like ignorance is bliss sort of thing. And how do you reconcile those two instincts, the instinct to grow and the instinct to like, I don't want this responsibility, I don't want this weight, I don't want any of this thing. And the thing he said was, at that point, the thing we should be taking refuge in in that elevation. We should be running towards the mountain. At once we realize that, we should just continue running towards the mountaintop. We shouldn't try and turn back around and go back to that place of ignorance, because even when you get there, you've changed at that point. You can't sit in that place anymore. You can't sit back and just not do anything. And if you do that, you end up ultimately, like, it eats at you and it kills you inside. So, you know, like you said, you end up in this weird limbo state where it's like, I could go forward or I could go back. But the second I go back, I realize like I can't be here anymore. But getting any further forward is like the climb only gets. Yes, there are things that make it easier, but the climb only gets harder the higher you get.
Right.
And so it's sort of like you can't sit in the middle, because, you know, if you sit still, you start sliding backwards.
Yep. Or people will pull you back, because you have people that. You have people that might realize your potential before you see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you have jealousy that manifests. That's when you have resentment that manifests. That's when you start seeing people dropping out of your life. Because, again, you may not know what's happening, but, and it could be subtle changes. It could just be all of a sudden you're not going out the way you were going out, you know. Instead of you, or at least for me, for a while, like, I wasn't really watching like reality TV. I wasn't really entertaining, you know, the stuff that was going on around me. I was like starting to read more. I was starting to like, I just got into like a lot of like motivational type stuff, self-help type stuff, like doing things, excuse me, of that nature. And you can always tell people that's for it, and then people that don't really know what's going on, they usually make their little comments and stuff. And like I said, it's subtle changes. Like when you can no longer hold space with somebody that you normally would kick it with, like it's no longer the same, typically that person, that relationship is just going to fizzle out. And I know for me, like when you talk about going up the mountain, like once you start, like once you have that awareness, it's hard to go back, because then it's like, why would I sit and be the person that I was when I already know who I can be on the other side? So for me, like, I know I would say my journey started more like 2015-ish, when I started to really start thinking about things I was doing and, you know, how I was living, stuff like that. And the world just starts to look different to you. Like just certain things that you were into before, just certain things just don't appeal. So yeah, it's like I said, growth is hard. It's hard. I think if it were easy, everybody would do it. You have some people, it might take them a lifetime to get it together. And then, I mean, you got some young kids out here that the way that some of these kids think, it's on a whole different scale, just how they see the world and how the type of relationships that they have and stuff like that. So it's, I do like to see that there's a greater awareness in how you treat people, because ultimately that will benefit you when it comes to relationships, whether it's family, romantic, friendship, platonic, whatever. So yeah, it's a hard road. It's a hard road. You're going to be constantly tested. You're going to have your setbacks. And, I think when the setbacks happen, you have to continue, or at least try to find the light in the situation. You have to try to find that glass half full, like, okay, this scenario didn't go the way that I wanted to, but, you know, I always try to look at it from that perspective, like, okay, this is not going the way I wanted to go, but maybe this is happening because of XYZ, like, in my And it kind of keeps me from going down the rabbit hole and being in a funk whenever something's not happening quickly enough for me. So yes, I get you on that one.
On that note, I think that is a perfect place to leave this right now, because I don't feel like there's a good place to spin that off with anything. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you again for being willing to do this with me. Thank you very much. We struggled up top, you know, but we finally made it happen.
You know, it's bothering me that my iPad is not working. Like, I'm about to be troubleshooting for the rest of the night. Like,
don't do this to yourself, because it's so, for those of y'all who don't know, we both worked in tech together, and troubleshooting was a thing we did, and we would both be there for hours just trying to fix a problem. So, ma'am, go to bed, okay? Just leave it alone, because you will be here. The problem gonna be there tomorrow. Is gonna be here. So
yeah, I'm upset. I'm like, this is crazy. Because the whole time I'm staring at my phone, I was like, this would look so much better on my bigger screen. But it was still good. Good conversation. Definitely appreciate you for having me once again. So it was good.
But all righty, if you could, please tell the people where to find you again.
So Twitter, you can find me by searching Soulful Rebel. Instagram, you can find me at NetNicole_19.
All right, and I am your host, Jay Echo, J.ECK0 on Instagram. I ain't got Twitter, so don't look for it. And I am also on Facebook at Jay Echo. So thank y'all for listening. Appreciate y'all. If ain't nobody told you they love you, I do. Take care of yourselves. Peace.
Bye.